When I was reading my Bible one morning when we were in Mississippi, the Lord showed me something here. And I just want to take a few moments and take about 20 minutes and just share with you truth that the Lord showed me. Judges chapter 11 is where we're going to be at tonight. Judges chapter 11. Now, before I read the text, let me just kind of explain to you in the text the background of the text, okay? Now, I know that the young people have learned this not that long ago in the Sunday school, but Judges chapter 11 is the story of a judge that God appointed over Israel named Jephthah. And Jephthah, if you read his description, did not come from a great background, okay? Jephthah in verse 1 was the son of a harlot. Because of that, his brethren cast him out. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he was an outcast. Well, then we find as we read down through the chapter, Israel found themselves in trouble once again with the children of Ammon. And because of their sin, God was bringing this nation to afflict them. And Israel realized that they needed some help. So they called Jephthah to lead them, to deliver them from the children of Ammon. So Jephthah does that. He accepts the charge. He accepts the commission to come and try to lead the children of Israel out of the hand of Ammon. Well, before he goes into battle, he tries to solve it with a diplomatic solution. He confronts Ammon, and he tries to negotiate with him and find out, why are you coming against us? You know, what's the point? Why are you coming to attack us? And chapter 11 in detail describes why Ammon is going to come against Israel. And by the way, it's not for the right reasons. Ammon tries to claim that Israel came in and forcibly took the land from them. But if you read the history there in chapter 11, that's not at all what happened. Israel, as they were traveling to the promised land years prior, they were just trying to get where God wanted them to be. And Ammon provoked the fight with Israel. And because they provoked the fight, God delivered the children of Ammon into Israel's hands, and they conquested their land. Well, years later, generations passed, they didn't like the fact that Israel had their land, so that's the story, that's the context, the background of where we find ourselves in this chapter. I'm going to read to you tonight verses 20 through 24. Judges chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Here's what the Bible says. But Shihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Shihon gathered all his people together and pinched in Jabesh and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. Verse 22, and they possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even to Jabkah, and from the wilderness even to Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath disposed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? This is Jephthah's conversation with the children of Ammon here. He's explaining the situation, and he asked a question. God's the one that gave us the land. Why are you trying to repossess it? And then the verse I want to focus in on tonight is verse 24. Notice what Jephthah asked the children of Ammon here. Wilt thou not possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out before us, them will we possess. And I like the question there that Jephthah asked. He says, why don't you possess the land that your God gives you? Why are you trying to take the land that our God has given us? And the thought that the Lord gave me from this passage of Scripture is this: living with the results of your God. Living with the results of your God. Notice what he says here. He says, you know what? Hey, if Chemosh your God, go live in the land that he's given you. But you know what? God's given us our land, and we're going to live in the land that the Lord God has given us. So I just for a few moments tonight want to talk about this subject, living with the results of your God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I pray that you'd bless us now for a few moments as we open your word. Speak to our hearts, God, and help us, Lord, to make sure that we keep you the right place in our life, Lord. So, Lord, we will have the right results. And now just bless us now, we pray. Bless our Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make just a couple statements tonight, all right? Number one is this: every person must choose who their God is going to be. Every person must choose who their God's going to be. Look at the comparison in verse 24. No, look at what it says there. It says this: Chemosh thy God. All right, there's one group of people who chose a God. And then look what else it says in verse 24. The Lord our God. And you see, you have two groups of people here. And you know what? They had to choose who their God was going to be. It's kind of like Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. We know the verse. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. By the way, that's the group of people we're talking about here. The Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me just say this, Christian. You know what? Every person must choose who their God is going to be. Now, obviously, that is true when it comes to salvation. All right? And by the way, that's what this world's doing. It's choosing who their God is going to be. They're choosing who they're going to put their faith and trust in. That's why the Bible says this in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know what the Bible's telling us here? You know what? There's only one God you can choose that's going to get you to heaven, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen? And so every person has to choose who their God's going to be. You got to choose it for salvation, but not only that, you know what? We've got to choose who our God's going to be for the way we live, for our living. For salvation, absolutely, but also for our living. Hey, do you know just because you're saved doesn't mean that Christ sits on the throne of your heart? You realize that? Just because you're saved and he might be, your soul is saved, you're going to heaven, but that doesn't mean that he sits on the throne of your life, on the throne of your heart. That's why Jesus emphasized multiple times in the gospel this verse right here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He emphasized that again in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Again in Luke 10, 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. Why do you think God emphasized that verse three times in Scripture? You know why? Because he knows the tendency of his children to not love the Lord thy God the way we're supposed to love the Lord our God. Because I'm afraid, and it's true in all of our lives, if we're not careful, we'll be like that church there in Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. And you know what the description of that church was? They had left their first love. And as Christians, listen, yes, we must choose our God when it comes to salvation, but we also must choose who our God's going to be when it comes to the way we live our lives. And I'm afraid too many born-again Christians, you know what? They may have chosen God for salvation, but he's not the God for the type of life that they live. You know what? Self is the God of their life. Pleasure is the God of their life. The world is the God of their life. So every person must choose who their God is going to be. Number two, there are results of choosing who your God is going to be. There's results of choosing. I mean, hey, if we continue to read Judges chapter 11 through the end of the chapter, you know what you're going to find? Something is going to happen based upon the choices made of the groups of people. Something's going to happen. I mean, hey, a reaction is going to occur based upon whether Shemoth was God or Jehovah was God. But one thing was for sure, there were going to be some results. There was going to be some results. It's kind of like a science experiment, all right? When certain elements come into contact with other elements, you know what? There's going to be a reaction of some kind, right? I remember back when we were building the building. We were doing a construction project. And some of the boys snuck into the cleaning closet, all right? And I'm not going to tell you what chemicals or what they mixed together, all right? Because some of y'all go home and try it, all right? But they grabbed some chemicals, and they mixed them together in a bottle. And they made what's known as a toilet bowl bomb, all right? And I remember we were out working, and all of a sudden we heard a kaboom! And the windows even rattled a little bit. I mean, it was a loud kaboom. And you know what happened? A reaction of some kind happened. You know why? Because some things were put together. There were some results because of the mixture. And let me just say this. You know what? I want the results that the one and only Jehovah God produced in place of the results like a false god like Shemoth produces. That's the type of results I want produced. I mean, hey, I've seen the results that the false gods of this world produce, and I don't like the reactions they cause. I don't like those results. Hey, I've seen the results of the false gods of alcohol, the false gods of pornography, the false gods of drugs, and the false gods of addiction. I've seen the results of those gods, and you know what? I don't like the results that they produce. You say, amen, preacher? Preach against those things. Preach against alcohol. Preach against pornography. Preach against drugs. Preach against those things. And you know what? I've also seen the results of the false gods of bitterness and what they produce. I've also seen the results of the false gods of pride and anger and envy and jealousy. Let me just say this. The results of those gods aren't any better either. You know why? Because too many people, that they put the wrong God in their life, and they put the wrong God on the throne of their heart, and then they the results of those gods, you know what? They have to live with the results of those gods. Now, I kind of think that I like the results of the one and only Jehovah God that produced things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Hey, that's the type of results that I like. Hey, I like the results that take a soul that was bound for hell and then make it a soul that is bound for heaven. I like those kind of results. I like the results of producing things like forgiveness and mercy where there was once condemnation and judgment. I like those kind of results. I kind of think that I like the results of a spirit-filled, powerful life used to make a difference in the lives of others that will matter for eternity. That's the type of results that I like. Let me just say this. Whatever God you choose, there's going to be some results. And the number three is this. Every person will have to live with the results of who their God is going to be. Every person. Hey, you know what? You're going to have to decide who your God's going to be. Number two, there's going to be some results based upon your choice. Number three, you know what? You'll live with the results of who your God's going to be. You'll live with those. Just like the charge that Jephthah was giving them back in Judges chapter 11. He says, hey, you know what? If Shamoth is your God, go live in the land he's given you. Live with the results of your God, Shamoth. Okay? And you know, every person will have to live with the results of who their God is going to be. We've heard our pastor say this, that God will allow us to make our own choices, but God will not allow us to choose the consequence of our choices, and how true that is. By the way, let's take a gander into Scripture. Let's see how it worked out for the Shamoth crowd. Let's see the results of those who lived for Shamoth. Turn the next page over to verse 32 and 33. Let's see how it worked out for the Shamoth crowd here. So Jephthah passed over into the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Ahor until thou comest down to Mentha, even 20 cities into the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Hey, I don't know about you, but you know what? I think I would rather live with the results of the Lord God of heaven instead of the results of Shamoth, the false god. Okay, I think that's kind of how I would rather live with those results, all right? By the way, you know what? When you live with the results of the Lord God of heaven, there's going to be some good results. There's going to be some earthly results from that. There's going to be the earthly results of a fulfilling life. Let me just say this. I preached to the kids in chapel this morning about the will of God and about the excitement of the will of God, the excellence of the will of God, the eternal value of the will of God. Let me just say this. As a Christian, when you live and you find and you do the will of God, there is a fulfillment that comes with that. There's a fulfillment that comes with that. And there's just a presence in your life. By the way, that's what the world's looking to do. They're looking to try to find that fulfillment. They're trying to find that peace, find that joy. They can't find it. You know why? Because they're looking every other place except the place they need to be looking at. And as a Christian, when you live with the results of your God, you know what? There's going to be some earthly results. There's going to be a fulfilling life. There's going to be the blessing of God. Hey, I'm thankful for the blessing of God upon my life. I've always said this, tithing and giving offerings is probably one of the biggest and best insurance policies you could ever take out on your life. Listen, when you decide that you're going to live with the results of the true God, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find the blessings of God upon your life. You're going to find that. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll have a trouble-free life. It doesn't mean you'll have a problem-free life. By the way, no one has a trouble-free, problem-free life. No one does. Brother Val, those lost men you work with at the coal mine, they still have problems. They still have troubles. I mean, anybody living this life is going to have troubles and problems. Let me say this. When you decide you're going to live with the results of the one and only true God, guess what? You got God helping you through those troubles. You got God helping you through those problems. You got a church family just like this as a support system to help you. So a life of the blessing of God, that's an earthly result. How about this? A blessed marriage is an earthly result. Of seeing God do the miraculous is an earthly result. Of living for a cause that is bigger than yourself is an earthly result. By the way, you'll have earthly results if you choose to live with the results of the one and only true God. But maybe more important than earthly results, living for the one and only true God, the result of that kind of life, will have eternal results. Eternal results. It'll mean having people in heaven as a direct result of your life. By the way, that's a fair question we should ask all of ourselves. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Who? Anybody? Will there be anybody there because of any type of work you try to do for the Lord? Or will you stand empty-handed that day at that great judgment seat of Christ? How about this eternal result? Being able to hear your Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How about that? By the way, I've often said this. When we, at the judgment seat of Christ, when we face the Lord, there's not going to be the fair police angel standing next to the Lord. "Well, Lord, that's just not fair. I mean, Lord, look at this person. Look at all they got." You mean, listen, God's not a socialist, okay? All right? He doesn't take from one group and give to another. I mean, you know, he's not Obama. Praise God for that, all right? He's not a socialist. You either earn it and get it or you don't. All right? And listen, I mean, I want to hear my Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." By the way, that's an eternal result of living for the one and only true God. How about this eternal result? Of being able to earn crowns and then be able to throw them back at the Savior's feet. Talk about an eternal result. That's an eternal result that I would pray that ought to be your goal as a Christian. How about the eternal result of knowing that you did your best for your Lord, who, by the way, gave his best for us? Amen. Knowing you did your best for him when he gave his best for us. So as a Christian, make sure that you choose the right God in your life. Yes, obviously for salvation, absolutely. But then once you are saved, making sure that God, the one that has saved you, has the number one place in your life. You see, too many people want to just kind of take God, and if they have time, they'll just fit God in wherever they can fit him in. I mean, God's not only not number one, he's not even on the top 10 priority list. And there's a lot of Christians who that's their testimony. That should not be our testimony as Christians. Here's what we need to do. We need to take God, put him at the top, and then everything else just plug into him. Amen? That's the attitude we ought to have when it comes to our Lord. Too many Christians are saved, but you know what? God doesn't sit on the throne of their lives. Self does. Other people do. Some stupid sin does. Let me tell you why we better make sure that God has the right place and Christ sits on the throne. Because all of us will have to live with the results of who our God is. All of us will have to live with those results. Just as the way the children of Amnon live with the result of Shamoth being their God, we as Christians will live with the results of who we choose, not just for salvation, but who we allow to sit on the throne of our heart. So let me just challenge this as a saved church member. Hey, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. This is a Wednesday night crowd. This is a faithful crowd. But I think all of us could do better. I mean, I tell you, sometimes in my life, there's times where if you're not careful, that the devil's very subtle. And before long, you know what you find out? God's dropping the priority list, hasn't he? And instead of sitting on the throne of our hearts, maybe he's sitting down on a little lower tier. That's not where he needs to be, amen? He needs to be sitting on the throne of our heart because we'll live with the results of who our God is. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for Wednesday night, Lord, and gathering, Lord, in your house with your people. Thank you, God, for your word, and thank you that the entrance of your word bringeth forth light. Now help us, God. Help us to all realize, Lord, we're going to live with the results of who our God is. So help us to make sure, God, that we give you the proper place in our life. Thank you, Lord, for Blessed Oak Baptist Church, God. And just we're so thankful, Lord, to this place you give us. Now bless our invitation tonight, and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.